Acts 10, 9 through 33. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But that while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who is called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then, why you sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord."
The word of the Lord. All right, so we're still on the edge of our seat here, Jordan. We want what
story.
What is Peter going to say? But we've had a nice little lead up to this, I think, over the past couple of days. So Peter, it starts with Cornelius.
Yeah.
He gets a vision, go and find Peter. Meanwhile, Peter gets a vision to, you know, that God is going to use him basically to minister to the Gentiles. And then these guys show up. It's really an amazing story.
It really is.
Just how the Lord is working together, working all of this together. It takes them a couple of days to walk. You know, they leave one day and then they get there the next day. So they spend one night. You know what this is? You know where they walked through basically? Modern day Tel Aviv. So between Joppa and Caesarea is Tel Aviv. So they're walking through what is now Tel Aviv. It wasn't there then. And then they get to Caesarea. And of course, now they're ready to hear from Peter. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the passage?
You know what strikes me in reading it is obedience.
Yeah.
Like Peter had to obey the Lord. And in that obedience, he was going against all these things that he had learned from, you know, from childhood,
right?
About what is clean, what is holy, what I am supposed to do. And here, God is reshaping his categories.
Really
and,
fast.
I mean, can you imagine?
One vision, but then, I mean, it is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it's a spectacular vision.
You know something that's actually kind of encouraging, though? God reshapes his vision there. God reshapes his understanding there, as you said. He does obey the Lord. But then later, you know, we talked about this in Galatians 3 mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago, or Galatians 2, rather, he struggles again.
Yeah.
He struggles to really believe that God has kind of changed these categories, and he kind of falls back into his own way, which is such the Christian life, right?
Right? Yeah. Peter is so encouraging to Christians.
He's awesome. Right? Because it's faith, weakness.
Yeah.
Faith,
yeah.
Weakness.
God accomplishes amazing things through this man, and yet he doubts, and yet he, you know, removes himself from Gentiles.
Right.
He's, yeah. I find much encouragement from him.
But he's not a total failure, obviously.
I mean, no, not at all.
He responds in great faith and obedience sometimes, and then sometimes he doesn't. And yeah. So that to me, as you say, is just ridiculously encouraging.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, to make it a broader, you know, fit it in the narrative of the story, like you said, this is the unfolding gospel moving forward. And I mean, I love the way even it's written. You are kind of out on the edge of your seat. You know, verse 33, we're all here in the presence of God. Tell us.
Yeah. And I can't wait till tomorrow to hear that. But before we do, and I'm even thinking, like, here's one of the things I want to say. I want to offer a critique to some of our Christian friends, okay? God has called us to minister to the Gentiles, right? This vision that God has given you, he has given to all of us. And I think a lot of Christians confuse what do we do with the unclean, if you will, right? And today, the unclean can be somebody who thinks about a political issue differently than you do. Mm. And even if it's a wrong issue, even if it's something that we know God has clearly, you know, spoken about,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think like the Biden administration just kind of, you know, basically de-genderized sports or you know, the whole like transgender. Now, somebody that's like very excited about that, okay, that's around me, okay, I've got to realize that God has called me to disciple that person. And I feel like I see so many Christians right now in the way that they're talking about these things, particularly publicly on like social media platforms, they're hurting. It's as if they're Peter before the vision and they would have nothing to do with the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, no, like, don't hurt your public witness. You know, it's kind of what we talked about a few weeks ago when we were in Jeremiah. Obviously, I want Christians to continue in our distinctiveness, but we have to be able, God's called us to the Gentiles. God's called us to, I mean, we are Gentiles, but God's called us to other Gentiles. And he's called us to what the word I like to use here is close the discipleship gap. And what I don't want you to do, person that's listening, is make the discipleship gap wider because, you know, you feel compelled to speak into these things. And I would just say, if you speaking into it is accomplishing something and you feel like it's worshiping the Lord, then, you know, maybe that's a good thing to do. But if it's you just kind of spouting off just to kind of get something off your chest and you're using social media to do so, or you're, you know, making a scene in your office place or whatever, don't unnecessarily widen the discipleship gap between you and the people that God has given you to minister to.
Yeah, it's so good. They need to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
Just like we do.
And just like I need to hear the gospel, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we all have a discipleship gap. You've got a discipleship gap too. I've got a discipleship gap too.
Yeah.
And I need people to minister to me. And I'll tell you this, if people have, you know, if somebody's trying to close the discipleship gap with me, and they speak ill of Auburn University, then they have just widened the gap, right? And so they're closing gaps over unnecessary things, yes. Or they're widening gaps rather over unnecessary things. That's what I am warning you guys against. Don't be so caught up in these lesser things that you're widening discipleship gaps with people that really need to hear the truth and that God has sent you to be the truth bearer.
Yeah, so that's good.
For Jordan Coughlin, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant And Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737. Or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.